grow. It's feeding our faith. So just let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father God, help us. Help us to still and quiet our hearts and our minds this morning. Help us to hear what you have for each one of us personally. And for us here at Calvary, Lord, as a body of Christ living and breathing and moving in this community, help us to understand that each one of us has a place here in this faith. Each one of us has something that you've placed into us, Lord, that you desire in these last days to be set free, to be let loose, to be shown to this world. So help us to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's look at it again. Now, faith is the substance, and that's the grounds. The word grounds you could put in there, substance. Well, it's what everything we see here, but it's like a chair. You know, it's the substance of it is material and metal. But it says that faith is the grounds or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The assurance is what that is. The evidence or the assurance in my heart and mind of things that are not seen. How do we take that and try to understand what is faith? Because our faith, if we're blatantly honest, at times wavers beyond what we even really like it to. But God is saying that this is something that's positive by that first verse. So it's kind of like us with a test tube. And I don't any chemists in here? Because I could have this all. McDoc's got a little chemistry. Yay. Craig was a chemist at one time, I know. I won't go there. Test tubes. We all know tests. Remember when you were a kid in class and I didn't take chemistry. I was like on the surf team. That was it. Unofficial surf team that ditched and went to the beach every day. Test tubes. You have something in the bottom of it. Substance. What is it? I don't know. So the chemist then he's looking for something special, whatever it might be. But he takes another chemical and he puts it in there and it's supposed to turn blue if it is. Oh, no, that's not it. Puts something else in there and they spin it and shake it. And all of a sudden, the result that they want comes out from that testing within that test tube. And that's what God is telling us, that these are unknown elements in us. There are various chemicals to test what it is, and the result will be evidence. That's how our faith should be. And sometimes we don't like that kind of testing when it comes from God or it comes from wherever it might be, our homes, our jobs, people next door. But every one of those tests, remember, God is not testing us to break us down. He's just trying to get us to see what we're made of, who we really are, and where our faith is and where it lies within him. God tests our faith, or he allows these testings. Again, like I said, to see what we're made of. He knows, but I don't think we really know. I don't think any one of us have really been tested yet. Oh, we've gone through them, haven't we? I look out and I can see every one of you have had some severe test in your life. But it's nothing compared to what's coming. And that's not doom and gloom or anything else. And when God tests us, he does it to strengthen us. He doesn't do it to break us down. He does it that we might, for the next life test that's coming, be ready and understand, I can trust him. I'll get through this test, just like, remember old David? Who is this? My God delivered me from the lion, from a bear. Who is this Philistine dog? Whack! It wasn't David and the good shot that he was or anything. It was God and his trust. Gideon, 300 men beating an army of 120,000 men. Were they that bad of special ops for Gideon? No, it was God fighting because they trusted him. Now, that's what he's trying, the author here in Hebrews, and I know the Spirit of God is trying to tell us, this is what you and I need to really hold on to in these last days, that it will help us, because you're going to go through a life test. You just went through eye surgery. That was great. It came out good. Tommy's sitting here, but it's not over. And I hear that almost every week, not only, you know, with marriages, finances, kids. When's this going to be over? It's not going to be over. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tried for the rest of our life until we stand in front of our Lord and Savior. It's something we have to accept and understand. And if I can't stand now the test that I'm going through, what if this was turkey today? How would I make that? And God even, you know, you've walked with the footmen, Doug. How are you going to contend with horses? They've wearied me at times. But he wants our faith to increase, and I think that's what the Spirit of God is going to show us through this chapter 11, how important life testings are. So put something in there. Let's turn to 2 Peter, if you would. Remember I said like the test tube. So we each know, basically, or I would hope, we kind of know where we are, don't we, in our faith? We know when we're doing great because we tell everybody how great we're doing. And we tell everybody how good we are and how great God is. But we don't say much on the disappointment ends, on the, I don't want to call it failure. They're faults. God doesn't look at us as failures. God sees our faults. And I think sometimes they do grieve him, but I don't think he looks at us as a failure like we do at times. So in this test tube of life that you and I are trying to find out, what are we made of? What are we? I turn to 2 Peter, verse 5, chapter 1. So we have the test tube. We've got something in there. To every one of us, God has given faith if you believe in him. Now that's something that I hope we understand. He's given every one of us a measure of faith. There's something in this test tube of Doug Gibney. But what God says is, until I know exactly where this faith is, until I really get to that point, he says, besides this, giving all diligence, that is important. Not just a little glance every now and then. Oh, I go to church maybe, once a month, twice a month, maybe. I don't go to. He's saying give diligence. The reason why we come here, like I said, is to grow in our faith. Not for anything else, not for the, you know, I'm sorry guys, but the worship is the best, I think. I've said this over and over. I can go to many churches and it's nothing but a rock concert. We've got worship, but we don't only come here just to hear the worship team. We come here to worship God. We don't come here because Doug is such a great preacher and, you know, has written thousands of books. We come here to, I read one book. And we come here to hear God speak somehow. We fellowship. We do these things that we might what? Grow. Exactly. So in this test tube of Doug Gibney, he's saying, besides all this, give some diligence like we do in anything. Ever lose anything that's really important to you? I mean, I spend hours fretting over that and looking around. And Pat will say, just give up. Giving up, I know it's here. Give all, that's diligence when you don't quit. Give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you, here's the proof now when we start to add a little bit, just like the chemist does in that test tube. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren, now that word is idle or empty, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be empty. I don't want to be idle. I don't have a whole lot of time left. I don't know. I mean, I could last to maybe, 90 for if God decides, but could be tomorrow. What are we adding? Are we adding to our faith, or are we just allowing it to kind of mellow out, sit there, and never really know that when the real testing comes, will I, like these early Jews, walk away? Will I, like these new believers, and some old believers in there also, will I be ready to give up what I know I have in store, reserved in heaven, that can't be touched? Would I be able to just let it ride? I think that's what the Lord is asking, at least of me. Doug, start examining your faith. What kind of faith is it? Is it real? Now, I know I'm saved. Somebody said, well, how do you know? I don't know how I know. God's word. I'm taking him at his word, and I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. We say that, flippantly, but I think if we know that in our hearts, each one of us, the trials and the testings that we're about to go through, or the ones we came out of, we'll be able to trust God even more, because I think that's where the crucible is. That's where the evidence is do I trust my Lord and my Savior? 1 Peter 1, before we head back. 1 Peter 1. Blessed, let's just start at 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. This faith that we live in, this is the faith, hope, and love that we exist in. It's living. It's every day. It should be something that people can see, that people might even want. I mean, I look at a guy driving a 56 Chevy Nomad, and I want that. I want that. Boy, I like that. Boy, that does something to my insides. But when people see you and I, do they want what you have? Not your 56 Nomad, not your, snowblower instead of a shovel. Do people want what they see in us? Because you and I should have a living hope. Why is that? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, not because of Doug. Not because of anything I'm doing. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm going to heaven. Are you going to heaven today? How do you know? You're worried about tomorrow, maybe. You're worried about today, but don't let those worries overshadow. Where are you going to spend eternity? That's the important question. That faith is going to come and unlock that door. It's going to add. The substance is going to be given to be evidence before long. If we have that faith, are you there? Who are kept, you and I? It's not me. It's not my strength. It's not my will. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through all your hard work, all your grunting and sweating. And, it doesn't say that. We're kept by the power of God today. Did you mess up today? Did I mess up today? Yet? I've been good today. Okay. But I'm not being kept because I was good today and yesterday. Understand that, please. All of us have this works oriented, which works are good when they're done in the name of Jesus. But if I do this and if I do this and if I don't do that, God's going to really be pleased with me. No. You and I are kept by the power of God. That's the Holy Spirit. And simple question, is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you? Jesus says if you believe, he'll send the Holy Spirit. If he's not dwelling in you, you're not saved, and you're not being kept. You're working on your own right now, and I hope and pray you make it to that day that you accept him. But we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's on its way, and we've been hearing this. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness, through manifold temptations. That word in the Greek, temptations, are trials and tests. And again, they don't make us, I made it through that, I'm stronger. No, they just let us see what we're made of. That the trial, verse 7, of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. To who? To Jesus, to God. That's who my faith is precious to, more precious than gold that he uses for paving material in heaven. The trial of my faith. So these trials that we try so hard to get out of, and then we start screaming at times, or we ask God, why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? And my answer, I shared that with you one day when Dee went, why us? And the answer came back, why not you? So whatever trial or test you're in right now, instead of saying, why me, God? Why is my eyes going bad? Why are my eyes going bad? Why did you get cancer? Why do you have... God says, why not? So that I can get glory. God is speaking through your life, through the testing of your faith, to show what it's really made of. It's a whole nother look on faith, isn't it? Because without that, faith kind of wanes. Just goes back and forth. Though it be tried with fire, and there's no test or trial in your life that's really pleasing, I don't think. And he's talking about the fires of this world, that crucible that we all get thrown into, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But you know what? That praise and that honor and that glory isn't going to be for any one of us by name as we walk in. Oh, look! Look who it is! It's Jenny! Oh, look who it is! You know, it's CK. The praise and the honor is going to be, look, it's God, it's Jesus. All honor, all glory, everything was just. I mean, I don't know how we're going to be praising there, but the glory and honor are going to be back to him. That's our faith. That's part of this faith that he's trying to get us to build upon. And this faith, you know, Jesus, and for some people it's like, wow, I never heard him. Has Jesus ever spoke to you? Now, some people raise their hand and they say, what? Some people have. The people who wrote this book heard him. Some of us in our prayers have heard him. Some of us have heard him from other people. And sometimes our prayers are yes, sometimes they're no, sometimes they're wait. It's not maybe. It's not maybe. It'll be yes, it'll be no, or it's going to be wait in his timing. But we haven't seen him. It says, whom? This Jesus, whom having not seen you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I haven't attained that yet. Joy unspeakable. And I think the Lord's telling us, God bless you. I think he's telling us that that's not a pie in the sky. That's right now. That this faith that we carry around in these bag of bones, there can be joy every single day. Why are you so happy? I can't even tell you why I'm so happy. I can say because God loves me and I'm going to heaven. I can't tell you, but it's there. It's a joy. It's not happiness that is caused by happenings in this world. It's a joy that exceeds any kind of understanding. And that's what he's trying to tell us, that this faith, it's joy unspeakable, full of glory. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Yeah, but none of them are any fun, are they? As we're going back to stop in James 1. We've been speaking over the months about endurance, enduring through situations, enduring through trials, so that the promise of God at one point in our lives can come to fruition. Verse 2, James is saying, my brethren, count it all joy, everything, the flat tire, the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, count it all. I mean, those are the things that are thrown in that cornucopia, using one of Tom's words. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or many trials and testings. Knowing, I guess we should just stop at 2, and until we really get to that, It's hard to talk because anybody really counted all joy when you fall into these things? Come on now. All of it, every bit of it. I'm just so glad that the Lord is testing me today. But we put one of those life disappointments or God's love appointments. Difficulties are food for our faith to feed on. When we begin to trust him in a way that we've never trusted him before, and that's what he expects from each and every one of us, whether you're saved one day, whether today might be your day that you accept the Lord, whether we've been saved 50, 60 years, he's expecting this in us. Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Something I think every one of us needs. We're too easily ready to just give up. Too easily to have the situation changed to the way that I might like it, the way that it would be of value to me, instead of me and my faith being value to God. Let your patience in four have her perfect work, that you might be perfect, or that's mature. We'll never be perfect in this life. Understand that. And entire, wanting nothing. It's the yielding to the Holy Spirit. So we go back. I started late. Can I go a little more? Verse 2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. The elders were speaking here of those Old Testament predecessors that got a good report because of what? Wait a minute, it didn't say in here we're going to have a whole list of the Hall of Fame of faith is coming up. But what God is saying, the elders, those that preceded us, okay, got a good report because of their prowess, their memorization skills, how many times they went to synagogue, how many, you know. No, the early fathers, the elders of our faith, got a good report with God because of their faith, that they trusted him. That one really got, that's divine approval. Divine approval in just trusting God through these times that they come. I mean, these guys were sawn in half. They were dipped into boiling oil. They were set on fire. They were pulled apart. They were. He didn't mention that, though. Not yet. Their faith is what gave them the divine approval of God. You want to get approval from God? You want to please God? That's what he's going to be showing us. Trust him. That's what pleases God. Not how high I can jump. Not how many pews I can go over in one shot. God wants our faith and our trust in him when everything else looks completely abandoned. Let's go look at Job 23. Good morning, B. Faith. So we were on that verse 1 about it being the substance of things hoped for. And I guess I should ask, what are you hoping for? And there's a lot of, there's good things to hope for. Don't, you know, I'm hoping this comes out okay. I hope that this work, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But there has to be an overriding hope within our faith and our love for Jesus Christ. Faith at times can be seen. Other times our faith cannot be seen except by God. And Job, in verse 8 of 23, says, behold, and I'm sure every one of us have felt this, behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I can't perceive him. On the left hand, where does he work? But I can't behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, that I can't see him. And I love the buts in the Bible. But he knows the way I take. How many of you felt that before? I'm crying out. I'm asking. I'm begging, and I can't see you. You're not here. You're not there. You're not behind me. Where are you? You're supposed to be working in my favor. And like Job, I would hope that all of us would say, but he knows the way that I take. He knows what you're going through. Trust me. He knows. And if we don't realize that, if we don't have that assurity, our faith needs to be added to today. Our faith needs to have something, some ingredient I don't know what that might be for you, to get me to know that God knows. He knows. I don't know. Sometimes you ask prayer. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what's happening in your heart. I don't know how bad it is for you right now. I don't know what your day is like. But God knows. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, it's not when he has answered all my prayers, when he has given me everything that I want and I think I need to get through, I will come forth as gold. My foot, in verse 11, hath he held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's faith. That's faith. And I guess I'm not going to make any comical additives to that. That's faith. Read it again this week. And just, I need to ask, am I there? No. Okay, then pray. Ask God to get me there. I want to go there. Now it might take a day, or it might take a week. Maybe it'll take 10 more years in our life. But I think if we keep praying, he is faithful enough that that's what you want. You want to trust me more? You want to know me more? You want to be able to walk through the fires of the testings that you're going through? I'll give you that. Trust me. Trust me. Go back to Hebrews. I don't think I'll try to go much further than this today, though. This faith says, through faith in 3, we understand. And I wonder, do we really? And this is a spot where faith comes in. Well, can't we believe in evolution? Yeah, you can believe in evolution. Can't we believe in theistic evolution? Yeah, you can believe in that if you want. But I wonder, in my faith, do I believe what God said? Not what man said, not what commentator said, not what somebody else said. Do I believe what God said? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What that tells me, God spoke, the world came into existence. No Big Bang. If it's a Big Bang, what blew up if there wasn't anything? I'm just throwing, a little food for thought out there. This is the actual account of creation for believers. Believers in God. And God was the only one that was there when this began, isn't it? Oh, isn't that something? We trust him for our salvation. We trust him for everything. We trust him for this and that. But when it comes to this, well, I don't know if that right there. Oh, well, read Genesis 1. Read the whole chapter. It tells you how he did it. Now, again, I say God was the only one that was there, right? I'm only 74. I wasn't there. Were you there at all, Lauren? No. You were. You can maybe give us some, No, we weren't there. But yet we believe these people that are probably younger than us on what this world, how it was made, blah, 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 whole stuff. But God was the only one that was there. And he's telling us, and we don't believe at times. Where's our faith? I can believe this, even though people would mock me for this. They'd make fun of me for this. And saying, oh, it's probably because, you have no education. This is what God said. That's faith. Now, faith, go back up to 1, is the substance, the grounds of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The world says seeing is believing. God says not seeing. And it's coming into believing. Wow. The things that are seen are temporal, says Paul in 2 Corinthians. The things that are unseen are eternal. I'd ask us to read Genesis 1 this week, because the elders in verse 2 obtained a good report, divine approval. The elders, and you and I, if we believe what we just read, already have good rapport with God. Anybody get up in their day and say, I don't want to please God? God's approval doesn't matter to me. Now, there, you know, we laugh, but we try so hard in our human endeavors to get divine approval, to please the God that will be with me for eternity. And this faith is so simple that we need somebody to help us misunderstand what God is saying. No big bang. The world was formed. He saw you when he was doing that. He saw you, he saw me, he saw all of us when he was doing that. Is my faith strong enough that I could believe that, or do I need something else? Because if I can believe this, then the next trial or test that comes into my life, and I trust my God to that degree, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but we'll be able to move through it. We're going to be looking at four. I just want to still go. You got any place to go? A couple minutes? I hate to lose anybody. Johnny Smith, that was the original pastor of the church, said that the mind can only absorb what the, and he wouldn't say, can endure. Sometimes we lose each other. But I don't want you walking out of here today lost, because this is crucial to what we call faith. Verse 4 says, by faith. So now, these are things that are possible with simple faith. It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh, meaning he's not talking out loud. He's still being mentioned here. He's being mentioned in Matthew. This faith was mentioned at times consistently. I thought it was very interesting that mom and dad weren't mentioned right there. Why did the Holy Spirit start with Abel and Cain instead of Adam and Eve? Doubt would be my answer. It's too simple of an answer. But they doubted God's word. Eve doubted. Listen to the devil. Oh, surely God has not said that. You're not going to die. You believe that? I mean, come on. That's outdated stuff. I don't think they're mentioned in here because they doubted. Now, I believe they're saved. Don't read anything into that. I believe Adam and Eve are fully saved. But they doubted. Their faith was weak at a time. Their faith didn't bring them to that point. So he mentions Abel, who brought, and we won't go into it today, maybe I'll start it there next week. It was a blood sacrifice. Cain brought a sacrifice to God, work of the hands. What's our sacrifice today in our faith? Is it just a work of my, I throw money in the Advent envelope. Oh, I come on Christmas. These are works of our hands. These are trying, this is religion. It's not faith. It's not even belief in a way. Oh, I believe this will get me into heaven if I tuck this in here or tuck that in there. Abel was a blood sacrifice. Cain was work of the hand. Abel will leave off with, in his faith, Abel had no reward in this life, did he? Other than pleasing God. Abel was killed by his own brother. Cain, on the other hand, he kind of cruised along. Faith, my faith. It's not always right here in this world, is it, that God rewards us, if I can use that. It's not always in this life that this faith that I say I have, what's it worth?
Everything.
When you look at it that way. And sometimes we, in our faith, give up like these early Jews were ready to do because God didn't answer things the way I wanted them. God didn't do it the way I wanted to. God did something completely opposite. But this word, if we dig into it and we read, you know, the accounts in Genesis 4 and whatnot of Cain and Abel, Abel did not get what he was looking for in this life. He got what he wasn't expecting from one who loved him. But we're reading about him still. And I know his reward in heaven is probably far exceeding anything that was here. How did Abel and Cain come to this knowledge, though? I started thinking of that last night. How did Abel know, there has to be a blood sacrifice? Speaking of Christ, you know, in the future, not to go there, but how did he know that something had to die in order for him to have this faith? And I started thinking, well, the Holy Spirit left out mom and dad. But I bet you mom and dad, in all their endeavors, as much as maybe they messed up and they doubted and they feared, just like every one of us, I bet you mom and dad told Cain and Abel what God required. And I'll pass that on as your pastor today, ending with that. Moms, dads, don't ever, ever, ever stop telling your children about God. God says that his word will not return void. Abel listened to mom and dad, whether he liked it or not, I don't know. Cain obviously didn't like it. What the heck with that? I'm busy. I'm going to bring this. It's easy. Don't ever give up telling your children about God, because God will take that word that you plant into their heart and he'll bring it to fruition one day. Don't ever think that this faith in that area of just speaking that word, showing how to live, even though we doubt and fear like Adam and Eve did, that at one point God is going to have an eternal reward for that labor. So Father God, help us to really start breaking down this hall of fame, this hall of faith, and what you're capable and willing to do in our lives just through simple faith, Father. Faith of a child. Faith as simple as a mustard seed. Faith that can move mountains. Faith that can break chains. Faith that can walk through fires. Faith that can open doors that no man can shut. Help us in the time that we have left, Father, to examine our faith. Help us to add to our faith. Help us to see how much is possible when we trust you, Lord, when we have that saving faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's stand and worship God.